Well, good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:03 on January 9th, 2019. Also present are Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman, so we do have a quorum. In terms of opening comments, I want to first congratulate the NDSU football team, the Bison, on a great win this past Saturday in Frisco. So that was fun to watch, and just a great effort this past Saturday and also for the season and many seasons before. Also, the session is now currently underway, so things are a little more active when you walk in the morning in the Capitol, and elevators are a little bit busier, but look forward to monitoring and watching things that can impact the commission as we go through the session. So, Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Congratulations on your first meeting as chair.
Thank you.
Following up on your very important duty yesterday of delivering the budget message, which you did in record time and with record few questions. So I think you're off to a good start. I don't have a lot of opening comments other than to say that and mostly to pass along and inform the two of you that I am, in my role as our liaison to OMS, I have moved, I'm still on the executive committee, but I've moved from secretary to the member at large, which is actually a step up, and I would be in line then to be the vice chair next year and the chair of OMS or president, I think they're called president, I forget which, in the year after that, so in 2020. So I think I've found the group to be pretty effective. So in my role as member at large, I'm also the liaison to the Planning Advisory Committee, not to be confused with the Advisory Committee, which I'm also a member of. The Planning Advisory Committee deals with all the system planning and is, again, on a whole bunch of stakeholders that meet. We just have our first meeting today. Most of them I will do by phone. They are in-person meetings in Carmel, Indiana. But I'll do most of them by phone, and I have Jerry and Adam working on this with me. Jerry kind of knows these ropes, but Adam is learning them, and it's good for everybody because they're talking about all kinds of issues today, two of which are behind-the-meter generation and storage as a transmission asset. So I have found that groups like this really help me to learn about things that are going on regionally that are impacting MISO, that are impacting the utilities we regulate, but may not be directly employed here in North Dakota yet. And so it's a good learning experience, and it's good opportunity to weigh in on some of those sort of cutting-edge technologies as well and keep tabs on how they're evolving.
That's fantastic.
Excuse me.
We're in good hands. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Commissioner Christman.
Congratulations on that, Commissioner Fedorchak. When I listened to you talk about the maybe oddly named committees or that seem confusing, it just makes me think that between your work with MISO and mine with SPP, that these RTOs might be next in line after the District of Columbia and federal government when it comes to bureaucracy and acronyms and multiple committees that almost no one outside the organization understands.
Right.
So different terms, and I know the two RTOs operate quite differently in some aspects, but some things seem to have in common, like lots of acronyms and committees. The two other things I was going to talk about have already been talked about, but I'll just highlight them a little bit more because they're two of my favorite subjects that don't deal with cattle, and that is, of course, the Bison and their national championship, which is why today I not only have my Bison cup, but my Bison tie on. And then the legislature being back in town, and I think it's off to a good start. I like the way they started their session with some days of committee work instead of doing legislative sessions for no bills or one or two bills right away. And so I think they're off to a good start. Clearly, we're off to a good start. They're maybe understanding is growing of the things that we do here. I think that in the last few sessions, we've done a good job of communicating the things that we do and the importance of the things that we do. And yesterday's very few questions on our budget maybe shows that paying off, that people are having a better understanding of this agency. So we'll keep moving forward. Congratulations, Mr. Chairman, and a good job yesterday on delivering our budget message.
Thank you very much. We have 9 items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion is approved.
All right. I have one motion on our regular agenda. I move the commission adopt the order on settlement in Great Plains Natural Gas Company Gas Service, Tariff and Rates, case number PU-17-75.
Second.
We have a motion. Is there any further discussion?
This dates back to February of 2017, actually. So this goes back to when Great Plains filed an application to revise its natural gas tariff. We did issue a notice of opportunity at the time. No response was received. And then at the end of the year, the rates were suspended in anticipation, or not anticipation, but to address the tax reform issues related to the implementation of the TCJA. On January 10th, as a part of case number 17-490, that involved all of the utilities that we regulate, including Great Plains, measured the effects of the TCJA, and that's what the determination that we were making, or the review of those impacts. Then in October of this past year, I should say previous year, in 2018, we're in 2019 now already, a settlement agreement was presented. At the beginning of November, we issued a second notice of opportunity for hearing. No response was received related to that. And on December 19th of 2018, we held an informal hearing. Just a little background, Great Plains is an investor-owned public utility, provides natural gas service to customers in Wahpeton, and there are approximately 2,300 customers on the Great Plains system network that are located in North Dakota. The settlement itself results in an annual revenue decrease of $168,306, approximately a 4% reduction in Great Plains' annual sales revenues. And the decrease is being applied on an equal percentage basis to each rate class in terms of how it will benefit customers. The average customer, residential customer, will see a decrease of about approximately $20 per year. The refund for 2018 dates back to January 1st, will also be $20 plus any other additional amounts related to the TCJA savings that will also be a part of this until the rates are actually implemented, the new rates. Great Plains shall submit a refund plan as a part of this, reflecting the provisions set forth in the settlement agreement within 30 days of the order. And just a little bit more about Great Plains. They were purchased in 2000 by MDU. Their general office is in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. It actually began in 1966. They have 23,500 customers overall, so just shy of 10% are North Dakota-based and under our jurisdiction. And then finally, they are a part of what is now 7 public utilities that we regulate. The most recent addition, of course, was Dakota Natural Gas, but 3 of these TCJ impact cases were tied also to rate cases. That was with MDU Gas, Otter Tail Electric, and then, of course, Great Plains Gas. 2 were standalones, if you will. We just measured the TCJA. That was MDU Electric and NSP Gas, and then we still have NSP Electric that we are looking at, although the amount, the benefit to customers for 2018 is in the process of being refunded.
I haven't brought this up in every single one of these TCJA cases. I think one other time I mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it today because of the timing again. Approximately a year ago, we started on this path as far as at least the 2018 tax savings by implementing regulatory rates. And what really kicked us off on that was an experienced regulator from Oklahoma that pointed out that with the December passage of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, these utilities would have these savings. Had that not come to our realization, time would have passed before we implemented regulatory rates. I'm not sure we would have been able to force the company to recover that money and refund it to the taxpayers until we did that. And so I'm sure some of this would have been refunded, but probably not the whole year starting January 1st. It shows the importance of relationships like that. And I pointed out because starting tomorrow evening through Saturday is the MARC meeting, and that is where at least I became familiar with that particular commissioner and kind of built that kind of relationship. And so those kinds of things do have some importance, and in this case it, the relationship may have cost the company an opportunity to have some unexpected additional revenue or earnings, but it made it so that that money could be returned to the ratepayers as it ought to be. And so kudos, I think, to the commission and our staff in getting this all put together, but also important to emphasize the importance of relationships, too.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion is approved.
That concludes my agenda items. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did want to, failed to mention another change in chair, and that is in our executive director, interim executive director, Steve Call. Welcome. Thank you, Steve, for
thank
stepping
you
up after Daryl's retirement. And another example of you, I mean, you're filling two roles. That's not a situation that we anticipate being permanent, but we have certainly streamlined things in here. Just in our meeting process with you doing both moderating the meeting and serving as executive secretary and then also running the meeting as well. So always looking to get more bang for the buck out of our employees at the commission. So thank you for your leadership and
well, thank you for the opportunity
and help. Okay, I have one item on my in my portfolio, and it's a long motion, so bear with me. Believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law or fact, I move the Commission consolidate for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 6902.04.04, Aurora Wind Project LLC 345 KV Transmission Line, Williams and Montrell Siting Application, Case Number PU-18-354, and Aurora Wind Project LLC, Aurora Wind Project Williams County Siting Application, Case Number PU-18-352. I further move the Commission deem the applications complete, conditioned on receipt at least 30 days prior to the hearing of 1, maps showing final site plan with turbines, access roads, collector lines, transmission line structures, and all residential receptor points labeled. 2, Class 3 cultural resource survey reports or summaries showing surveys areas surveyed and SHPO cultural site numbers recommended for avoidance, and 3, wetland delineation reports. I further move the commission issue a notice of filings and notice of consolidated hearings in Aurora Wind Project LLC 345 KV Transmission Line, Williams and Montreal Siting Application, case number PU-18-351, and Aurora Wind Project LLC, Aurora Wind Project Williams County Siting Application, case number PU-18-352 and PU-18-281.
Second.
And thank
point
you, Randy.
Of order before the discussion.
Yes.
I wasn't following so close, but in early on, I maybe misunderstood you, but regarding the Williams and Montreal siting application 318-351, one time I thought I heard 354. So if there was any confusion on
okay.
that, it is 351 and 352, correct?
Okay. It is.
I just wanted to get
correct.
This on the record in case you made a mistake, but you probably
sure.
didn't. It probably was me.
Well. There's a lot of numbers when you start throwing in the 345 KV line. So,
we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yes. So just a little project background on this project. Last September, the company applied for a certificate of site compatibility and a corridor certificate both for the wind generation facility and an electric transmission line associated to it. The project is proposed to be up to 300 megawatts, and it is consisting of up to 103 wind turbine generators and associated facilities in Williams County, and 20 miles of the 345 KV electric transmission line. The project itself is proposed to encompass approximately 44,000 acres, and it is located 5 miles northwest of Tioga, and the estimated cost is $400 million. So another very substantial wind generation facility being proposed. This has to be fairly near to the other one that was built north of Tioga and is operational, and so that's a little... becoming a little concentrated area of wind development out west. I would say and make a special request to staff and the company, if they're listening, that when they file those maps, we go around and around on maps during our hearings. And this is not rocket science. It's very clear what kind of maps are the most effective during the hearing process. We've highlighted that multiple times. And so I would make a special request that staff work with the company to provide maps that are in the most usable format that would include a comprehensive map that shows all the exclusion and avoidance areas, the setbacks for sound and flicker, and the setbacks for just occupied residences, and identifies in a clear way with color coding or symbols non-participating and participating landowners, both the land sections and occupied residences. We've seen usable maps such as that in other cases, and if necessary, could pull one out so the company can use it as a model. But I think that saves a lot of time and frustration during the hearings and allows us to not have to ask for additional information after the fact as late filed exhibits. So that would be my special request to those maps that are being filed within 30 days of the hearing.
I will just add to that. You are done, right?
I am.
I'll just add that I like your comments on that, on getting these maps right. And at a previous hearing, I had started to conclude in my mind that I was going to refuse to vote to deem any of these complete until I had everything. But because of the timing of it, I get the importance of getting this step done, and so we can set a hearing date and move on, and that some more things should be filed. But between now and the hearing date doesn't necessarily mean at the hearing, you finally come in with the maps and the information. It's just to me, vitally important that we have this stuff in good format somewhat before that hearing, because it just is so confusing trying to do a hearing, trying to listen to what people are telling us, while at the same time shifting between the massive paperwork that we've had for months and are familiar with to everything new that day. And so I appreciate your comments, and I hope that they're listening and give it proper consideration.
Good. Thank you, Randy. And I think the staff can make sure that the company hears, if they aren't listening today, that message can be relayed. I will make two other points. I failed to mention that the hearing date is scheduled for February 25th at 9 a.m. at Nesset Consulting Service, 6844 State Highway 40 in Tioga. So that's when the hearing, the consolidated hearing on both cases will be held. And then I threw in an extra case number at the end of the motion. It read on the motion, which will get corrected for the record, a case number PU-18-281 at the end. That is not part of this project. It is case number 18-352 or 351 and 18-352.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, use the same sign. Motion is approved.
And that's it for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak. Commissioner Christman.
On October 29 of 2018, Mid-Continent Communications filed an application. I'm sorry. That wasn't the motion. So I'm starting fresh now. My motion is that I move the commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunications carrier designation in Mid-Continent Communications designated eligible carrier application, case number PU-18-373.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Is there any further discussion?
On October 29th of 2018, Mid-Continent filed an application for a designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier for the purpose of receiving Connect America Fund Phase 2 funding in specified geographic blocks in rural areas of North Dakota. And I want to point out these geographic blocks are not necessarily city blocks or counties or townships or something we're familiar with. They can be as tiny as a farmstead somewhere out who knows where, or it can be a larger area. The census map blocks are very hard to predict the size of. But so that they have a bunch of them specified. These CAF Phase 2 areas do not have access to broadband at speeds of at least 10 megabits per second downstream and 1 megabit per second upstream at this time. On November 8th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. No comments or requests for hearing were received. In this area of law, telecommunications carriers eligible to receive federal universal service support if the company meets certain requirements established under federal law. In addition to those requirements for universal service funds, to receive CAF Phase 2 funds, a carrier must offer minimum speeds of 100 megabits per second download and 20 megabits per second upload in the funded areas within a six-year period. Mid-Continent's application states that it will meet the CAF Phase 2 broadband service obligations through its existing wired and wireless networks and will build out new wired and wireless networks as needed to provide service under the CAF 2 requirements. Based on the evidence in this proceeding, Mid-Continent is qualified for designation as an ETC, eligible to receive federal universal service support. The FCC has specified the geographic areas that will receive funding, and Mid-Continent was awarded CAF 2 support for the areas mentioned. The Commission has considered the benefit of increasing consumer choice and the unique advantages and disadvantages of the applicant's service offering It is significant that subscribers in these CAF 2 areas will have access to high-speed broadband, finally. The provision of adequate essential and non-essential telecommunication service in these exchanges will be facilitated and supported by the full current technical and financial capabilities of Midcontinent, and so it is in the public interest that Midcontinent be designated as an ETC in the CAF Phase 2 areas as requested. And finally, I will point out, looking at a map of these just little dots that almost seem random, but there is more to it than that. The areas that we're talking about here are fairly heavy in an area that I would describe as being east of Grafton, but it does extend out to areas including like near Cavalier and Park River. And then it's particularly heavy kind of in the Mayville area and maybe 20 or 30 miles around. It does extend down. There are some of these blocks in areas around Kindred and Wahpeton. And then there's kind of a clump of them north of Jamestown, I would describe. It may be a 10-mile, like, half moon going north of Jamestown. So that is my best description of the areas that they would be using these CAF 2 funds to upgrade.
Any further discussion? Sensing none.
Just would add real quickly that this is going to further enhance North Dakota's already really strong speeds, internet speeds, for being a rural state. We've been highlighted as one of the best rural states in the country, and I've seen a map where it shows like the highest speeds are in pink, and it kind of, and North Dakota has some really bright spots on there throughout the state, and it really shows up on a map of the U.S. because it's sort of pink amongst a bunch of other darker colors. And so it's really neat to see. It's a real tribute to the work being done by our telcos and companies like Midco now, who are jumping into that same kind of service model. And it's a definite asset to our state and our economy, and it really is a nice contrast to the other big maps of the U.S. that I've seen where something bright is showing off of them, and it was the flaring in the Bakken that people were suggesting was flaring off the map. So I like the bright broadband speeds better.
I don't recall the quote precisely, but I've heard Senator Kramer mention a couple times, was it Eric Severide that referred to North Dakota as the dark spot in the middle of the nation or something like that when it comes to those flaring pictures or our broadband. We're no longer a dark spot, we're right. A bright spot. So.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
All right, thank you. There are two announcements. This coming Tuesday, January 15th at 2:00, we will have an informal with Northern States Power to continue discussing the TCJA effects. That's case number 18-155, and that is here at the Capitol in the Commission Hearing Room. And then our next regular meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, January 23rd at 10:00 here in the Commission Meeting Room as well. We will now take a brief recess until 10:40, and then reconvene for the administration portion of the meeting. This meeting is in recess.